Today's program is brought to you by TechServe. For more information, visit techserve.com.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
You are, well, welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, Greg Bresnitz. Darren is actually out today shooting a show, unfortunately, so hopefully we'll be reunited next week in studio. It seems like we've been trading off. Spain was amazing and a great vacation, but I'm happy to be back in the studio. That first track was by a band called 254 called Dawn off of their EP, and they will be playing live in studio a little bit later. They're outside eating some pizza and watching some World Cup qualifiers, but today is a really amazing show. When I first moved to New York straight out of college, I was completely broke and didn't have anything more than a few dollars every day to eat some food. And I used to do a something called All-in-One, which was a bagel, everything bagel, hash brown, two pieces of bacon, two eggs and cheese, that I would wait till I got really hungry and eat that and then kind of coma out and then wake up. And that would kind of be my meal for the day. And then things got better and I got a job and everything. And one of the very first things that I went and did when I got a good some money and some spending money is that I went down to Russ and Daughters and got a bagel and lox. Granted, it was on the lower end of the bagel and lox. So Russ and Daughters has held a very, very special place in my heart, and I'd like to welcome Josh from Russ and Daughters to the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So why don't you give me a little background of how you came to get involved in the family business? It's not the traditional, story.
More and more these days, it ends up being more of a prevalent story. I am the fourth generation co-owner. I own it with my cousin now. Russ and Daughters, our great grandfather, founded the business in 1914. And I went to school for chemical engineering and worked out west in semiconductors for 5 years. And I started getting this sense of history and where my family is from and really what my grandmother, who's kind of the matriarch of our family, did with her life. And it was Russ and Daughters. Her whole life was Russ and Daughters. So I started having this draw to Russ and Daughters, and I wanted to make sure it stayed in the family. And at that point, my uncle, who owned and ran the business for 30 years, was considering moving on. He's getting up in years. And I started talking to him, and he, for months, told me I was crazy, and why would I come back and stand on my feet for 10 hours a day, 6 days a week? And ultimately, I convinced him that I would give it my all and come back and attempt to do it. So I left my career as an engineer at Weston and came back and got into the business for the first time. I was never really exposed to it.
So, I mean, and how old were you?
26.
So you had never, you know, cut fish or smeared bagels? Or
yeah, that's actually really funny. I'd never had a waitering job. I'd never worked in a restaurant.
Right.
So it was really, you know, blank slate, which from at this point in my career, it's nice to get someone that works for us with a blank slate, because then they don't have preconceived notions. They don't think they know better than we do. But I came up to the counter one of the first days I was there and picked up the knife with my left hand. I'm left-handed.
Right.
And everyone looked at me and was like, oh, no. Like, you can't slice with your left hand on the counter because there's 10 guys standing back there.
Right.
And you're gonna cut someone inevitably if you're slicing with the wrong hand. So I changed hands and figured out how to slice with my right hand. Thank God.
They let you cut fish day one? Or wasn't something that you had to work up to?
They
apprentice. I mean,
and even now, when a new person comes on, we let them attempt to cut fish. Now that it's an expensive process because you can't necessarily sell that fish.
Right.
You know, we make it into tartare or something else.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, one of the first days I was there, I attempted it.
It's amazing. I was just watching Jiro Dreams of Sushi this weekend, and which is amazing.
Yeah.
And it's like they talk about like all the steps you have to do just to even get to cut to fish. And on top of that, it takes 10 years just to begin to cut the eggs, which is like, so it's a very interesting, different.
It's not quite that long for Russ and Daughters.
No.
But it certainly takes people months. It took me 3 weeks, and I'm this crazy perfectionist person, but the 10 years that I've been there, I've been developing my slicing ever since. So
yeah, how do you, I mean, obviously you got to it where it was passable, but like, how have you developed your technique? Like, what is your technique now for cutting fish?
The technique is hard to explain in words, but it's really touching the fish and seeing the fish. You approach each piece of salmon differently. And most importantly, you have total control over the knife. And what I've really been developing.
What type of knife do you use? Shout it out.
It's called a slicer. And it's, when it comes new, it's thick, maybe an inch and a half thick, 12 inches long. But we have a sharpening service that cuts them or grinds them down. So they're like maybe a half inch at most and then thinner than that. So it's a weird knife.
Do you have a specific brand?
No, they're actually really cheap knives. Interestingly enough, Chris Constantino from San Francisco, the chef, just is launching a line of knives, and he just gave us a couple that we're trying out.
Thoughts?
They are not shaped ideally for us because the tip curves up at the end instead of having a sharp point, which we like. Very sharp, and it's a nice Japanese steel knife.
Right.
But it might be a little too flexible. I'm still working on it.
I mean, I guess, is the smoked salmon business and game crying for a better knife? I guess would be the question.
I don't think so. I think that the cheap knives that we have to sharpen them constantly.
Just like grandma.
Yeah, right. But particularly, it's a lot easier to slice with a very sharp knife.
Right.
So I don't think it needs a knife. Maybe if you had a nice steel knife designed to my specifications, it would be amazing. But then, you know, if it's $150 a knife.
You are an engineer.
Right.
So you could potentially have a little side business there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you grew up in the Lower East Side going to Russ and Daughters.
I did not.
You did not.
I grew up upstate.
But you would come down and visit. And everything.
I grew up upstate, strangely, in an ashram.
Really?
My mother was like the hippie black sheep of the Russ family and took off. So I was raised from 0 to 10 on an ashram just an hour north.
Okay.
Very unique and not at all like my life now, but
and so when you would come down, what was it like coming, I mean, to Russ and Daughters in the 70s and 80s? Because you can only imagine Lower East Side then versus Lower East Side now is, I mean, night and day, two different worlds.
It was wild. And especially since I was, you know, in the woods in this different, very different place. We'd come down and drive in and park somewhere in the neighborhood, make sure all the, you know, doors were locked, the windows were up. And then walk, you know, a block or two to the store and just bums sleeping on the street, like multiple bums sleeping on the street. Streetwalker, I mean, drug addicts everywhere. I think I wrote about this or in an interview recently, like walking down the street was like the Wild West, you know, like stuff was blowing down the street and everything was sort of like scary. But it was really exciting for me to see that. And then you go into the store and you smell that aroma that you know, I'm sure, mm-hmm. well. And it's sort of very welcoming. And I'd go in there and like fill my candies or pockets with candy. And then we'd go to grandma's in Gramercy Park and have lunch.
And I mean, you have such a rich history there. You know, tell me about your customers. That's what I'm always curious about, because like the people that will still come out of their way and probably even travel like an hour just to come because they've always gone there. It's like, what are some like the most loyal, do you have any stories about that?
Well, we have a tremendous amount of loyal customers that now they certainly travel from Long Island and New Jersey and upstate and in Europe. I mean, there's a guy that when he's here, I think he works for the UN in war-torn areas of the world. And he's been in Sudan for setting up the new government for months. And he comes in for a couple of days for a meeting and comes into the store and tells me these stories of like him being horribly ill and like losing 30 pounds. But this is like his mainstay. Like he needs this food. And there's so many people that really, wherever they move, they're whenever they come back, they come to like sometimes right off of the plane, like from Europe or from the West Coast. And come and get their sandwich, and it's a real nostalgic, but holds a special place in a lot of people's hearts.
Amazing. Is there any sandwiches that you have there that are fair, like overlooked and underappreciated? Like I know, like I would go in and I would be like, I really should get the lox and bagel, but you're like, something I should possibly consider.
Well, the pastrami Russ is a fairly new sandwich.
Okay.
Pastrami smoked salmon. It's not meat. It's fish cured in pastrami spices. And it's on a bagel with deli mustard and sauerkraut. It's pretty damn good.
I would say that I would definitely overlook that. But and how is it introducing, you know, new items in that place, considering the history and the legacy of it?
It's not easy. Anymore. I mean, we have a lot of old customers that have been there a long time and want just traditional stuff. And we have other customers that want, you know, what about eel or like different things. So we don't change too many things, but when we find a product that's deserving of being in that showcase, which there's a limited amount of room, then we certainly, you know, check it out. Herrings, we've done a new preparation, I don't know, in the past 10 years, a curried herring that's actually delicious. Some different fishes. We started making a trout salad, like the whitefish salad with trout meat. But you almost have to convince these old school customers that it was appropriate to make that change or put something new in the case. So it's a challenge, but it takes a lot for something to get in there.
What's the one thing that caught on that you didn't expect to catch on that's been introduced in the last 10, even 20 years?
The pastrami salmon is a big one. The wasabi roe, I think, is probably the biggest one.
Really?
It's wasabi-infused flying fish roe and people will put it on anything now.
It sounds perfect for like it's, toast.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, right. Toast, on the white fruit salad, on any other sandwich. It's excellent.
And one last question before a break. Is there anything that you introduced that didn't make it that kind of still breaks your heart?
I try not to get too attached, especially if I'm going out on a limb.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think. What did I introduce that got killed? I mean, there's been salmons that I really like from a new supplier, a new smoker that just don't work out. You know, we tried to import some from Scotland, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the importation and the problems with the timing just didn't work.
Got it.
Some of these things that I really wanted to have in the store and just didn't work out. It's kind of tough.
Awesome. All right, so we're going to take a quick musical break. It looks like you brought some stuff here for us to try, including that drink that is absolutely your
beat. Shrub.
The shrub. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the new catch season and then the herring pairing event. Coming up next, we have a song by Ramesh, who was on Snacky Tunes earlier this year. The song is called Berlin Without Return. It's going to be on our new live comp, which comes out June 26th. You can actually get this track now if you go to Brooklyn Vegan. Just search Brooklyn Vegan, Snacky Tunes, and Ramesh. And we will be right back with Josh and Russian Daughters and 254 playing live later on Snacky Tunes.
New York, she used to hold me like a mother. Now she just throws me to the lions and the wolves. I remember your face stares at me like the hero. Long ago I was king of your world. You held me close and I made you feel like you were protected from the forces of nature. But when I close my eyes late at night, baby, I'm the king of your world. And you stare at me as someone new, someone who would crumble with the flesh and the blood. Oh, and I'm asking you, can you still love me after all the hell that I put you through? Well, I was man enough to break your heart. Baby, I'm the king, and they're never gonna take me alive. Take me alive. Take me alive. Damned in the country, damned in the city, damned to be the work of your hands. The work of my hands was the worth of my world, the worst of my life. And once upon a time I was king of your world. You held me close and I made you feel like you were protected from the forces of nature. But when I close my eyes late at night, baby, I'm the king of your world. And you stare at me as someone new, someone who would crumble with the flesh and the blood. Oh, and I'm asking you, can you still love me after all the hell that I put you through? Oh, I was man enough to break your heart. Baby, I'm the king, and they're never gonna take me alive. Take me alive. Take me alive. But when I close my eyes late at night, baby, I'm the king, I'm the king of your world. And you stare at me as someone who, someone who would crumble with the flesh and the blood. Oh, and I'm asking you, can you still love me after all the hell that I put you through? Oh, I was man enough to break your heart. Baby, I'm the king, and they're never gonna take me alive. Take me alive.
Man, I need a new computer. I guess I'm going to have to go to the Apple Store.
What? Don't go to the Apple Store. Go to TechServe.
What's TechServe? I thought Apple Store was the only choice.
No, you're crazy. TechServe is so much better than the Apple Store. They're New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. Plus, the store is really cool. You gotta go check it out. They're located at 119 West 23rd Street.
Well, that settles it. I'm headed to TechServe.
TechServe is a proud sponsor of HeritageRadioNetwork.org. For more information, visit TechServe.com. That's TechServe.com.
All right, Ramesh Berlin without return. I have Josh from Russ and Daughters on here who's feeding me locks, so essentially just making me new best friend ever.
Well, the best bagel you can have is a bagel made by someone else.
Mm-hmm. I've never thought of that. That's entirely true.
Yeah, it really is. Tastes that much better.
Mm. The way that my mom smears like cream cheese on a bagel, like I've never been able to get that same like bread to topping ratio. Yeah. Mine always kind of comes out super thin, and I don't really know. Like I'm using like half a pack, and it's still not like somehow soaks in. The Sable's amazing. All this is so good, and the bagels are tiny. Tell me about.
Well, what we brought was mini bagels, and these are traditional hand rolled, water boiled, New York bagels. But the mini bagels are actually what a bagel used to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, today bagels are like four times the size of this. Even our regular size bagels, and we just made a change and are using a real traditional
bagel
roller. There was, totally. And the old bagels that we had were a little bit bigger, but still smaller than many of the bagels out there. And the new bagels we have are quite a bit smaller, more like a traditional bagel.
Mm-hmm.
Not this small, but customers were, this bagel's too small. So we're basically retraining New York to understand what, this is a traditional New York bagel.
I got it. One hand-rolled bagel at a time. So let's talk about the herring pairing event. First off, great name. What's the concept?
So, it's herring paired with spirits.
Okay.
What could be better than that?
Nothing.
Basically, it's centered around the start of the new catch Holland herring season.
Okay.
Which is a very slightly cured herring. Almost, it's like sushi. So it's really an amazing herring. One of my favorites. So that's sort of the impetus to do this event. And then we take all of our other different herring preparations and serve them on different breads or crackers with different accoutrements, and then pair them with different spirits. And last year was, vodka, aquavit.
There's something so nice about herring and a shot of ice-cold vodka that...
That's the perfect pairing. Yeah, and we go out on a limb a little bit and try to pair different herrings, a spiced herring with some sort of maybe a spiced gin or something.
Right.
With different things. And a lot of them come out really well. And we also have a guest chef. This year we have Chef Sono from Kyoya on 7th Street.
Mm-hmm.
That was just given 3 stars by the New York Times.
Amazing.
So we're really excited about that.
Good timing.
Yeah, exactly. and with the herring being like sushi, we're really curious and interested as to what he's going to come up with. So he prepares the herring in some way, and then we're pairing that with a sake, actually a 4th-generation sake producer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really? 4th-generation salmon, 4th-generation sake. Happy coincidence or a little bit more thought out?
Not necessarily thought out, but it sort of fell into our lap.
Mm-hmm.
The funny thing was, we're sitting down with the chef and someone from Japan, and the 4th-generation sake producer is like the new kids on the block.
Right.
There's 16, 17-generation sake producers.
And last you had April Bloomfield, and before that was Wiley Dufresne. So what were those meals like, or how did that...
Their preparations, Wiley did a nasturtium soup with the new catch herring. That was very wily, like your gastronomy, delicious. And then there was some cocktail with that. I actually don't remember what it was. And then April did a crostini with a lemon brined, a new catch Holland herring that was unbelievable, like fantastic. People were mobbing them.
And so is this like, this is less sit down, more just like...
Exactly.
Like hand things. So what are the nuts? Where is this? When is this? How do I get to go?
It is on June 26th at Astor Center. You can buy tickets in Russ and Daughters or calling up Russ and Daughters or on the Astor Center website. It's $75. And
the pause is to look at Jen Snow, the publicist. Yeah. Right. Shout out to Jen for setting this up.
Exactly. And for being my backup.
Yeah.
It's $75 and it's from 6 to 9.
Okay. We're
gonna have a jazz band.
Amazing.
What's
the dress?
Whatever you want. Okay. I wear a suit.
Do you have to give a speech?
Made of herring.
Scale.
Do I have to give a speech? I don't have to give a speech. I might say something.
Was it you or Nikki that was talking about the Googa Mooga? Like, one, a designer like made a suit out of like herring or. Jen, you can get in there.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, Isaac Mizrahi made a suit out of. Or a dress out of salmon skin.
Okay.
Which is pretty amazing.
Awesome. That's pretty amazing. By the way, Jen is on 254's mic, so if you hear the reverb on it, that's why it's like super spaced out. Okay, amazing. And then the other thing that's going on is the new catch.
Right.
Why don't you take me through what that is?
The new catch is a Dutch herring that they set a date every year in Holland that the herring is released or the season begins, and they auction the first barrel of herring, I think, basically for charity. But I think last year it might have gotten 60,000 euros. So I mean, it's charity based. 85. Wow. So it's a big deal. And the season started on the 6th. We're still waiting to be able to sell it. But we will have it hopefully today or tomorrow. And it's fantastic. You know, come in, you can eat it traditionally, hold it by the tail, dip it in some onions and eat it right at the counter. Amazing. Which a lot of people do. It's a fun time of year for us.
How much like picking goes over the counter? Like, is there a time limit? Do certain people who have been doing it for a while, they get like a little bit more of like, it's okay.
You know, when we're not busy, mm-hmm. I'd be happy to see 10 people in there eating on the counter. But if it's a Sunday afternoon and there's, you know, 40 people waiting to order and,
right.
you know, people are taking up space, then I'll just throw them out. We're happy to have people to hang out there and eat whatever they want.
And last question is, what is like the grace that you get for like trying a couple things? Like, how much do you let people try before you're like, all right, enough already, just buy something, move along?
I don't have a lot of patience for that, to be honest with you. I mean, if someone's actually, and you know, I know, if someone's actually curious and has no idea what anything is, I would give them almost a taste of almost anything.
Right.
There's occasionally a schnorrer.
What's that?
Someone who is just trying to get a free lunch.
Right.
And, it's a Yiddish term for, what? What would you just go? Someone. So get something free,
right?
Okay. And that's right. That's where my impatience comes out.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for joining
me
on this. This is very exciting for me. I'm very so happy when I saw that we confirmed this. Thank you for the bagel. Always prepared, as you said, better by somebody else. You want to give me the nuts and bolts, or Jen? Do you want to give the nuts and bolts? Twitter, email, website.
Yeah, it's russanddaughters.com, all spelled out. Twitter, it's Lox Populi, Lox of the People. And we have info about the herring pairing on both. And then you can call Russ and Daughters at 212-475-4880 to buy tickets to the herring pairing. Or you can go onto our website, which will link you through to Astor's website.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for having
really
us.
Really appreciate it. It sounds like space voice in there.
Thank
it's
you.
So awesome.
like I was doing okay, but I am never on my way.
You're listening to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, Greg Bresnitz. And today we have 254 Live in studio.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good, man.
We have half of them right now. The other half are tuning. Welcome. We'll just slide this microphone over. Just kind of lean in. You can just lean into it. Well, do you want to introduce who's here?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Colette.
Okay.
And I'm Alex.
And who are we missing?
We're missing my sister Hannah and Joel, our bassist, who they're tuning up.
Yeah, it's fine. Like I said, it's internet radio. It's a little bit loosening things. Welcome back to the States.
Thank you very much.
First headlining tour. You and I were just talking off air about, you know, the myth of America. Yeah, they can come in. It's just come on in. Yeah, hello, welcome.
Hi, guys. Right.
How was that? Was that good?
Yeah.
How are the acoustics in the hallway?
I'm sorry. No, it's totally fine. Perfect.
So we were just talking about during the break about the kind of the myth of traveling to the States and what it is, and we'd love to get your impressions. You're like day two, three into this, before you like all the shininess wears off and you're like, my fucking get back in the van, eat McDonald's again. You know, what is it that like the States holds for you as like your first headlining tour?
It's just a real adventure. I mean, getting to visit cities that, you know, we would never have seen, you know, so it's just...
Yeah, the romance of it, the road, the landscape, you know.
Are you driving the whole thing?
Yeah, in a little van.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of you in that van. Wait, you're all in that van?
Yeah, there's six of us.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
That's very impressive. So you came from D.C., you were in New York, then D.C., and then back up there. Thoughts on D.C.? Did you get to explore it all?
Yeah, we got a cab to the White House.
Oh, okay. Oh. You
know, it's first on the hit list.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's kind of weird because it's such like a, well, obviously the White House, the Washington Monument, Memorial, but it's like totally insane to think that like having never seen that again. Like, I guess if, when I go back to London, like the first thing I did go was like Buckingham Palace and just kind of stare at it.
Yeah.
So, White House, live up to expectations.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's very impressive. Area.
And so tell me about, let's just step back a minute, tell me about the band and how it formed. Although he's not here, I do this show with my twin brother, so I work a lot with family, and I have a couple questions for the sisters, but how did this band kind of come to be?
It kind of started, Colette and I started kind of writing songs a couple of years ago that, felt like they had a bit like potential, and we kind of... We just started to, kind of explore and expand on the sound, and then we were lucky enough to meet Alex and Joel, and we just started kind of playing songs and playing shows together. Yeah.
For the creative process, is there either one of you or all of you? Do you have input, or is it mostly just the two of you? And what is the dynamic of that?
It kind of starts. I'll kind of make. Kind of the bare bones of like a musical track, and kind of send that to Colette to kind of, yeah.
Then I do, yeah, I'll do like the melodies and the lyrics, and then when the song's done, we'll
kind of jam it out
together.
Okay. Well, why don't we get into a song?
Cool.
And then we'll come back and have some more family questions.
Okay.
What's the name of this song?
This is Sugar.
Stranger, what's your name? Got a feeling we're the same. Where you going? Where have you been? Do you wanna see all of it? I wanna see all of it. Pushing down onto far above the ground, above the ground. And now I know you're mine.
Awesome. I wish there was more than one of me, because one person applauding just sounds really, it's like worse, it's like just worse doing it than not doing it, but that sounded awesome.
Thank you.
So for the family, it's like my brother and I, we like this radio show and everything. I feel like nothing is more epic than like a family fight. However, nothing gets resolved faster than a family fight. So like we'll be like I can't believe you do this. Like, how do you think this and everything? And 2 minutes later, it's like, so do you want to get like a sandwich or something? So does that factor into like your, I mean, and you could say pass on the question because it's a very personal question, but does that factor into like how you guys write, because it is something that's so close to you, and you, it like drags up like, well, I remember when you did this to me, or things. It's never just like, you know, new band members type of stuff with the only history of being just in a band together.
Mm-hmm. No, we've always got on. That's it, yeah, really.
So you just told me, my brother and I just are totally.
Yeah, we've always got on. It's just, yeah.
All right, amazing. Next question then. Here we go. No, that's totally fine. We just have things to work out. So your record is out. The full length is out on Fat Possum, which is an awesome, awesome choice. How did you arrive at putting out on Fat Possum?
Yeah, just through conversation, really. And just, yeah, it's a huge honor. We're huge fans of the label and the heritage of the label.
I mean, you know, being a, you know, a band these days, I feel that, you know, some bands still have like the obvious path where they have to play, you know, a certain amount of shows and everything. But, you know, when you're a band that gets kind of in the upswing of things and gets courted, you know, how is it that you make a decision of that, or what, you know, weigh the pros and cons of different labels that I'm sure reach out to you?
I don't really know about that. I mean,
I think it's only ever about the team of people, you know, you're going to work with. And yeah, it's just a great team at Fat Possum, and yeah, we're very lucky to be working with them.
That is amazing. So for the upcoming tour, I know that you only get like a couple hours maybe in each city. Is there something that you look to do when you get to a new city? Like, we just have to do this one thing so it feels like we were actually here. And it's like, is it food? Is it going to vintage shopping? Is it museums? What is it?
Walking, just getting out of the dressing room and going for an explore.
Yeah, getting a feel for the city, just kind of strolling around.
What have you done in New York so far that, you know, might have, you know, taken off your checklist?
Well, to be fair, we arrived in Brooklyn off the plane, and then today we've just arrived from DC. So in the next couple of hours, I want to go.
Before the show tonight, we'll be exploring
Mercury Lounge tonight.
Yeah, Mercury Lounge.
Oh, I mean Lower East Side. It's perfect. Actually, the food guest we just had from Russ and Daughters, which is like right around there, which is a smoked salmon and bagel shop, which is like one of the oldest around there. Why don't we hear another song? What are you going to play next?
We're gonna play a song called Circuitry.
Okay.
Is it all inside my head?
awesome. Really, really awesome. So to continue on with the myth about America, is there any particular food that you are like, gotta get to America, gotta try this, really gotta sink my teeth into it because we just don't have it across the pond?
Milk duds.
No. Literally not what I expected, but okay.
I'm really into tacos.
So okay.
Especially in New York City, it's good to...
Oh, yeah. And you've already done your Brooklyn show, right?
Yeah.
Oh, there's this place, there's two places like in Williamsburg. One place is called The Woods. In the back of The Woods, the best like burrito, quesadilla, taco stand ever is back there. And then there's this place called La Superior, which is also amazing. Okay, but nice. I'm sure someone from Lower East Side can point you in like the position yeah. of a proper... I feel like tacos just don't really translate anywhere else besides like America or Mexico. Like I've seen like Mexican food in Europe and you're just like, I know it says Mexican food, I know it kind of looks like Mexican food, but it's not not really a thing. Boys, anything for you? Milk duds, tacos,
all of it?
Yeah, the whole lot. Yeah, big fan of burritos.
Okay. Yeah. Which is a variation on the theme of a taco. I have an idea of where this is going. When you get to the Northwest as well, like, New York is fine, but the Northwest is, like, really well-known for its Mexican food. So they might try to take you some, like American cuisine and, like, get some steaks and everything. You go, no. I heard there are good burritos here, and I want them, and I promise you will, like, get the best possible burritos that you could possibly stomach. So new record's out. You can get it on iTunes and more else.
On vinyl and CD.
Vinyl? Free download with the vinyl?
I'm not sure, actually.
We must find that out.
We must find that out. Sure. Question.
I hope so.
Well, I want to make sure that we have enough time to get one more song in. So do you want to just give me the nuts and bolts where people can find you, follow you on Twitter, all that good stuff?
Yes, it's 254.net is the website, and the Twitter is /254, the word.
Amazing.
Yeah,
and anything else? You know, it's the final thing I'd say, that American-British relations sometimes come across as Americans are very forward. British are very reserved. So if any people who are listening are going to come see you guys might want to say hey, or that they really love your music, any tips that they have for like a good opening line or way to introduce themselves?
The more full on the better.
Yeah. Just come on,
full on American. Hey, how the hell are you? Like, really nice to meet you. Here's a they bring a taco and a box of milk duds. Is that like the opening?
That seals the deal.
Okay. Well, thank you for being on Snacky Tunes.
Thanks for having
us. We're going to get one more song. Next week, we're very excited. We have Reggie Watts live in studio, which I'm very, very excited about. Ooh. This new show out is on Comedy Central right now. What are you going to take us out with? Oh, and the show tonight's at Mercury Lounge. Sold out? I'm guessing it's probably sold out.
I haven't checked in. I think it's going to be, is it going to be a good one? It's gonna
be Monday nights in New York are always awesome. Yeah. I'm going to say. What's the last song you're going to play for us?
Creeping.
Awesome. Oh, and check out the video for Creeping anywhere you can watch videos online.
Oh, and one more thing.
Thanks to Graham for setting this all up. Very awesome publicist. I just wanted to give him a thank you for making this all happen.
Yeah.
And Ben, too.
You follow me, a shadow, move me just enough to pass the time. I see you follow. So easy. So easy. And now I wonder where you roam. I've been here a thousand times before.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs
on iTunes
by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on
Facebook
and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.